This is session 4 of Naturalizing the Language of NVC with Mickey Cashton.
So welcome back to our adventure. As usual, I would like to start by checking in with people about any comments or questions from last time. Also, in particular, I sent you some empathy buddy practice, and I would like to get some feedback from people about that too. What did you practice this week? What did you try out? What did you give your attention to? In what way did you implement what we did last time?
Hi, Mickey. I had a question that came up in my practice session with my empathy buddy, and I just wanted to ask you about it. It was about contextualizing, and the need that we were working with was closeness. My partner was describing a situation that he was having with a particular family member. So the contextualization was closeness with family. Then I started thinking about if I were to apply that to my family situation, I might not want to contextualize that to my entire family, but to one particular individual. So, for example, I might want closeness with one person, but I might not actually want that with another member of my family. So I was trying to figure out how to expand that need into a full phrase if family wouldn't fit.
Okay, so tell me, why is it that you want closeness with this particular person? I mean, is this totally hypothetical, or is this...
Actually, my partner was describing a situation that was true for him, and for him, it was appropriate to use closeness with family. He was comfortable with that.
I'm talking now about you, not about your partner. So do you actually have a family member that you want to be close to and another that you don't?
Yes.
So what is it about the family member that you want closeness to that draws you to that? That will help us contextualize it.
What is it about her, or what is it about the situation? I'm not clear.
Why do you want closeness with this person?
I'm not in contact with most of my family, and I would like to have connection, some form of connection with a family member where there is some level of, I guess, mutuality maybe, where there's some level of mutual understanding or...
Okay, so then you want to have connection with family members that share your values.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you for helping it be so simple.
Let me tell you what it is that I do in order to do that, is I look for the features of the strategy, the qualities of the strategy that are significant, and that's what gives me the context of the need. Basically, what it is it's almost like it's a few needs coming together. That's what creates that full phrase need in this case. Does that make sense?
So when you say a few needs coming together, the few needs would be, can you say more about that in this context?
In this context, it would be, it's closeness, it's connection, familiarity, and shared values.
Okay, great. Got it. Yeah, thank you. That's very helpful.
Yes.
The practice I did this week, the best, was with the empathy buddy. And it happened that we had a short empathy session just before I picked up my son. And I found it was the most natural thing in the world for me to listen with empathy to my son and not speak in the normal way. And I found it contrary to the normal friction if I used NVC language, the reaction to that. I found just a very smooth conversation in which I said, well, you want independence, right? And he said, yes. My state of mind changed because of having been in an empathy session for about 20 minutes just before seeing my son.
Yeah. This reminds me of something that I heard Marshall Rosenberg say many years ago. He said, it's very easy to parent when you do it this way. 5 minutes with your children, an hour of empathy. 5 minutes with your children, an hour of empathy. It's in jest, and yet I know what he is referring to, because there is so much challenge in relationships with children and so little support for parents. How long did it last?
We went back and forth between a good conversation and not so good, but I guess my consciousness lasted a half an hour, an hour.
I love that. That is, you know, it's actually a different ratio from the one that Marshall said, 20 minutes of empathy, an hour of consciousness. Not bad.
A lot of satisfaction.
Yeah. I have a very strong sense that there is something on the physiological level that happens, on a neurological, which is that we have habits of responding that are very clearly grooved neural connections. And when we start building our empathy muscles and get empathy and shift our consciousness and practice, we build new neural connections. If we keep going there again and again and again and again, eventually they will strengthen and it will stick. It will become integrated and internalized, and it will be what I like to call acquired spontaneity. That will be what feels spontaneous. So glad you had a first step and you saw how sweet it was. And I have another question to you. Did you talk with your son about what was going on at any point during or after?
No, I didn't.
I'd be curious to check in with him about it, because if he noticed, that would be very sweet feedback for you. And then eventually he can become your ally in bringing you back to this consciousness. What do you think?
Yes, that makes sense.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hi, Mickey.
Hi.
My wife came home from work and she told me about some things that were happening and that she was feeling overwhelmed. And it just popped in my head to say, sounds like you've got a lot on your plate. And I asked her about it later. That felt like I was connecting with her. And she said she did. I felt good about it because it kind of said to me that there might be a lot of these little phrases that are already available in our language that say the same thing as, are you feeling frustrated?
And it's also very sweet because so many women have so much trouble with so many men for trying to solve their problems rather than listening to them and being with them. So it sounds like you gave your wife an experience that was different from that and sweet. And I like it that it just popped up.
Me too.
It's kind of like the ongoing practice creates fertile ground for new seeds to germinate and sprout. More power to you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mickey. I just wanted to say that I did manage a few times this week to have a discussion with my husband about a few things that in the past would have turned into a screaming match, and they didn't. I was able to sort of just keep kind of a perspective, not get caught up in I'm bad or you're wrong or whatever, and it felt really good, much, much better. So that was nice.
And what do you think made it possible for you?
It's hard to say because I can't think of the exact example, but I think it was just being able to sort of step back and not decide I had to blame or to take something as judgment. There was a phrase that I was listening to. It was that, nonviolent communication is easier to explain to people as a language where you don't use judgment and blame. And just trying not to do that to myself and not to other people. I'm sure I am still using plenty of blame and judgment, but just a little less.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the things that I was pondering between last week and this week is that in some way the class is turning out to be somewhat different from what I expected. And I was intrigued by that, and I wanted to tell you what I have been thinking about all of you and see if anybody has any feedback about this. I had a thought that what we were going to be doing is focusing on situations in which my consciousness is in the right place where I want it. And I just want to focus on how I use the language to carry out the intention to connect. And it turns out that a fair amount of what we're doing is we're actually tying the language to more deepening in looking at the consciousness itself, at the intention, at the willingness, at really integrating what this is about, that it's not about certain words, it's about how I show up in the world, and really working with the places where we don't want to show up like that. I'm curious if anybody wants to reflect on that, and whether that is really your experience, that in focusing on naturalizing the language, it actually results in a deepening of your relationship with the consciousness. Curious to hear from a couple of people about that.
Yes, I too found that this is very different from what I was expecting. I was thinking we were going to be talking, just sticking with language, and been quite surprised at how deep it has gone for myself, for sure. It's the magic of language, really, isn't it? It's the giraffe language itself, as you say, has an effect on the consciousness. And in our session last week, when I was thinking that I was dealing with a need for inclusion and a need for belonging, and just in that little 15-minute work, someone mentioned family, the need for family, and it has changed what I'm thinking totally, like, and what I'm doing. It really had a profound effect on my life. At the same time that it's helping in one area, it does feel like it's kind of deteriorating in another. Just to mention that I've been working on empathy for a long, long time, mostly in my profession and my family, yeah, to the extent that it was hard to switch it around. And actually, family was my need for family and my how I'm going to get it. And in focusing on that, it's been hard not to take judgment and blaming with other members of the family. You know, like I'm working towards closeness with certain members and finding I'm just out of empathy with other people, which is really, really strange for me. I think Marshall talked about the obnoxious stage or something. I thought I was past that, but
I am wondering if it might be something else, which is that there is some, it's almost like there is a certain a store of energy that we have for the transformational effort. And if you invest more of it in one place, you might have less available of yourself for other areas. Maybe you need to find ways of feeding yourself. Just a thought. I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm yearning for one thing and working towards it. That doesn't mean I have it or that need is met, but meet other needs in order to have a store of strength for other people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So for me, I noticed there was a moment today where I was giving myself self-empathy in this little written exercise in the midst of a different meeting. And writing down the needs in the typical way was helpful, but when I thought to make it more of a phrase, I felt like I dropped deeper into the need.
Yes.
And it made it like more real for me. And it was, so it was like another kind of layer of relief.
I'm really glad that happened to you and that you're bringing it up, because it helps me clarify that when we use the one word need, it's so abstract that it kind of like can remain a concept rather than a vibrancy of human reality. That's what I'm hearing from you, that once you gave it the surrounding words, it was more of a more contact, more human contact with yourself.
Yeah, and it just made it more, much more real, which the definition of real is not abstract. Broke me open a little bit more, and I felt like more of a rush of empathy for myself, and appreciation for the need, and maybe more of an understanding at the naturalness of having that need.
Gorgeous. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I wanted to kind of clarify what the question was that you put out, Miki, because something came up in me when you asked it. I heard you say something about that the class was surprising you in the direction that it was going because you thought it was going to be more like we'd be putting out our situations and you were going to support us in using a more natural language. Did I get that?
Not quite. That somehow I had in mind that the situations that we would all be working with are situations in which you all already have the intention to connect. And it would just be the tool to help you make the connection easier. And it turns out that as we are looking at this, we are also peeling off more layers of what are the obstacles to enter the intention to connect.
Yes, because I think that piece for me, when you put that out there, what came up for me is this idea about naturalizing the consciousness.
Uh-huh.
The reason that I'm saying that is with my daughter, I asked her the homework question, you know, about what were those phrases that I used or things that were uncomfortable for her to hear. She said to me, Mom, I would just want you to listen. You know, I didn't want you to use anything NVC. And she goes, and I could see you struggling when I would be talking to you. And she goes, and I knew it was because you wanted to try to say it so you could relate to me. She actually said that.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She's 19 now.
Uh-huh.
So this is coming through high school. You know, I was like really in that obnoxious stage where I was just trying so hard to like use it and wanted so much to connect with her and have it work. And, you know, and my intention was to have connection, but I didn't have the consciousness of just being present. It was like I was trying so hard to use the language that I wasn't really in this place where I was just conscious. And it was interesting to me that she could actually see that I was struggling and that she knew that my intention was actually connection, but it kind of wasn't really working. And so this idea for me, just to come back to what you said, was naturalizing the consciousness is interesting. For me, it's more of that than the language. I'm not sure how to combine those, but somehow to me it's embedded in the language is the consciousness, but the consciousness needs to be there before the language or something like that.
I appreciate this because what I am getting through what you're saying is that it's almost like when the focus is so much on the language, the intention doesn't carry through the language.
No.
Then it's all this effort to come up with the right words. And what can happen is the language will never link with the consciousness if you just do it like that.
Here,
because I'm asking you to drop any idea of using the right language and just really concentrate on the connection and on the understanding and on reflecting on certain aspects of what is happening and finding all of that and let the words emerge.
Yes.
Then you are no longer captive to some list of feelings or anything because you start trusting your own consciousness.
Yes. But the question I have is I almost think it's kind of one of those things where I remember Ram Dass talking about ego, how you really actually need to get an ego before you can get rid of your ego.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that. It makes me think, well, you kind of have to learn the language before you can naturalize the language.
I think of it a little differently. Yes. Yes and no. Here is how I think of it. I think of it as what I want to do is I want to keep stretching my consciousness so that I am able to be more and more naturally consistent with my own values. So it's the consciousness that drives the process. However, I need practice because I have decades of practice of the other way. So for that, I want to create practice settings. And I intend for us to have that conversation more in depth at another time in the class.
Wait, could you say that again? You want to have practice what?
In places that are designed for practice.
So you're saying have the practice at practice times, but at the rest of the time, just keep this idea of of connection in your consciousness and let
exactly.
the words arise.
Exactly. I could not have said it better.
Okay, I get it. Thank you.
Thank you. And then what happens is as you practice, it stretches your consciousness, and then in the rest of your life, if you trust the natural flow, it will get closer and closer to your intention through the practice that you do elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really glad you brought up this point. What struck me is you said you were surprised a little bit by how this was unfolding. And I guess even though I hadn't thought of it in these terms initially, I guess I really wasn't surprised. It seemed very natural to me that it would, in thinking about naturalizing the language, it would touch upon the consciousness. I've definitely related a lot to what everybody has said so far along these lines. And I know for myself, I had an experience with my son where, you know, in the past, I may have tried to be very classic NVC, which I think would have taken me out of the consciousness a little bit. But after last class, I just found myself saying, hey, you know, just be real with him. The words just flowed, and he totally connected to what I was saying. It was really quite an incredible shift for me. I wasn't trying so hard. I was just really attuned to what was going on in the situation. It was really quite a gratifying experience, actually. I had the sense that the classic practice form is kind of like training wheels, that it can be really helpful while you're learning to ride the bike. But then once you've figured out how to balance, it doesn't help to keep the training wheels on. That was kind of my experience of that.
I am delighted to hear that you just let yourself be real. Some of it is... it's almost like we don't trust ourselves that without focusing so methodically on the right words, we will actually be able to connect with other people as if we never connected with other people before we did NVC. That's the other thing that came to me.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Before this class, I noticed that what I would do is I would just speed by the need to connect. And I'd be so focused on trying to determine what the need was. And now it's like there's a big glow around this to connect. This is like primary before anything else.
Thank you. Okay. So the topic for today turns out to be twofold. One piece of it is about looking at the whole thing of jargon, and the other piece of it will be about the significance of connection requests in creating flow of communication. So I would like to hear from one or two people if you did indeed interview anyone in your life and what you learned from it. If you have a particular phrase that you would like for us to look at alternatives for. I would like to invite anyone who is willing to share the results of those interviews and what you discovered. That would be really meaningful for me and possibly for others too.
Yeah, mine was a little different, Mickey, because I've been at the receiving end of people who use a lot of NVC language. So I looked at what is it that they say that I have a negative reaction to. Is that okay as an example?
Absolutely.
One thing that I really have a negative reaction to is when I'm being asked, would you tell me what you just heard me say?
Great. And what is it that gives you the allergic reaction to that phrase?
It makes me feel like a student and the teacher is asking me to repeat what they said to see whether I understood it or whether I was sleeping, not paying attention.
Thank you.
I feel very much put on the spot. So I came up with some alternatives.
Great. I'd love to hear them.
I'm not sure whether I expressed myself clearly. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And if they just say, yes, of course I know what you're saying, and, you know, not really repeating, then what I would say, I would repeat parts of what I have said, and after each part, I would ask for a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand why this is important to me, or do you understand why I'm worried about this, or why I'm worried about you?
I like where you're going. The only thing that I want to tweak is you keep asking only yes-no questions.
I was worried about that, and that's why I was saying, you know, if I get just a yes-no question, then I will sort of repeat a part of what I said, but just a part, not the whole thing, and then ask for a reaction, but not in the sense of, would you tell me what you just heard me say? You understand what's important to me and really...
And if they say yes, you still don't know if they actually understood what you intended. I think there is a role for asking people to say what they heard. And I think that it's important to find ways of asking for it that will not be off-putting to people. So this is a classic. I'd like to see if anybody has any ideas for how you can ask somebody for reflection without sounding like you're testing them. Does anyone else have any suggestions? How can you do that? This is an important core piece.
I had a few things that I came up with. I'm rambling and not sure if I got across the important parts of what I had to say. Can you help me by summarizing what I said?
I am really liking one feature of this that I want to highlight, which is that you say, can you help me by summarizing? By saying it like this, it completely uncouples it from, is this person right or wrong? Were they paying attention or not? All of that, it really puts it on you. And I want to check with Helga as the bullshit detector. Would that one have worked for you?
Yeah, that sounds very good, actually. I like that a lot. It's a communal effort. We're working together on it, and I like that aspect of it.
Yes, this is one of my big goals, that we turn our interactions into collaborative efforts to connect, and that we drive the collaboration because the other person is unlikely to. Do you have any other proposals?
I'm not confident. I said that in a way that was hearable. What did you get from it?
Yeah, the commonality between these two is you are taking responsibility. In other words, if the other person didn't hear what you intended, you are implying that you didn't say it sufficiently clearly rather than that they didn't hear it clearly. I want to add another twist, which is I may be confident that I said it clearly, and I may still not be confident that I would be heard. So I may say something like, I am a little nervous about this because there's been so much charge between us whenever we've talked about this. I really want to establish whether we are even able to hear each other given the charge, and then ask the question. And I want to check with Helga if that one would have worked.
That would work too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had come up with something, what did you get out of what I said, which is asking for a little bit more than a yes or no, but what you were saying is more comprehensive, and I like that. Yeah.
Yes. Are you satisfied with...
Yes, I am. I am. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else, did you have any other phrase either that was said to you or that you heard from others that didn't like? Yes.
I asked my husband, and he told me that he does not like it when I say to him, so I heard you say. He goes, I just don't like anything being reflected back. Nothing at all. I said, you don't want me to say anything. And he goes, no, I don't want you to say anything. I guess I'm kind of struggling with that because maybe my intention is that I want to express that I'm listening or that I'm hearing him. And
yeah.
And I really don't know what to do with that. I really don't know what to do with that at all.
Okay, great. We'll solicit support from others. And before we do that, I want to separate out your intention and what gets registered with the other person. In other words, you have an intention to somehow give him the message that you're listening, and the way that you're doing it is a way that he doesn't like. We need to find a different way to convey the message, I'm listening. Because if you were to just say, I'm listening, that wouldn't work either. So let's see if anybody has suggestions about what we could do with this one.
Maybe just say something like, uh-huh, Uh-huh. Or, yeah, I see what you mean.
Do you think that would work with your husband?
I do.
Okay.
Actually.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Let's see some more.
I'm guessing, I'm imagining.
I'm guessing, I'm imagining what?
No, I'm guessing that whatever he's saying.
Oh, but that still reflects it, and he doesn't want to hear a reflection. It's not just those words. The way I understood it.
Yes, that's accurate. He doesn't like reflecting back. If I say back what he said, he gets bothered.
So you can say, sounds like you're angry? That's still a reflection.
Yeah. If I said that, I don't think that would contribute to connection.
All right. Let's see what David wants to add here.
My question to the other person might be, is it okay if I ask you if I heard you right by telling you what I heard you say? My comment is that if our intention is to tell someone we're listening by repeating to them what they said, of course that's valid, but it may be that we have more to do on our agenda by expressing this, such as finding out if we heard them right.
I'm not sure I understood you in what you said. Did you understand what David was saying? Was it meaning?
I did, but I think what I'm realizing as he's talking to me, and I'm thinking about the other person who told me to say, uh-huh, and yes, I see what you mean. So as I'm listening right now, what I'm getting that is really, I think is really profound for me is that I actually think he really wants as few words from me as possible, and I tend to be wordy. So I'm trying to connect with my words, and for him, it's like he just doesn't really want me to say much at all.
When he speaks.
When he speaks.
Yeah.
Which is different from when I speak.
Uh-huh.
So I think what I'm picking up on is when David said to ask if I heard you right, all of a sudden I realized that I think it was too many words. I think, uh-huh, or yeah, I see what you mean, is more in line with him. And I don't know how to check in if I'm getting it, but if I guess maybe if I'm confused, I can just go, is this what you mean, or something like that, to word it that way. I think what I'm getting from this is, like, I need to use as few words as possible.
The thing that I would say to generalize is if we are wanting to connect, then we need to find a strategy that works for the way we like to connect at the same time as working for the way the other person likes to connect. And so I wouldn't want you to stretch to a degree where it would no longer feel like connection to you. So I want to leave it in paradox. That's one thing. The other thing is it's very clearly there's no rules because each person is different. So thank you. I want to hear if you have something different to add.
I was just going to say, so if you're genuinely confused and you feel like you are missing connection, then you might say, you know, I want to stop and ask you a question. Did you mean this or that? I'm going to kind of maybe give it a more specific, I need feedback because of this, rather than this more general, can I feedback what I'm hearing?
No, I like that because that's really specific, which I think he would like. That works for me too.
Yeah, and it also brings up another piece, which is, for whose benefit are you doing the reflection? Is it for your benefit to convince yourself that you got it? Or is it for his benefit? It sounds like for his benefit, no need to do it. If it's for your benefit, then I think if you can say that, it would be easier for him to go along with it. If you were to say to him something like, I know you don't like me to reflect back. In this moment, I am not sure how I would be confident that I got it if I didn't get confirmation from you. Are you willing to hear me reflect it back? That's different. That will be easier for him, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's accurate because I do think sometimes I'm reflecting it for my benefit, so I know I'm getting it. I mean, my intention is pure that I'm trying to get it, but I realize it's not working for him, that that's frustrating for him.
Hang on a second. Mike wants to interrupt.
Yeah, I was just going to say something like, I'm confused about something you said. Can you tell me about this thing here? You know, or just it's along with a specific reflection. But it's just, it's like take responsibility. I'm confused about something you said. Can you tell me about this thing here?
That works for me, too.
Excellent. Let's see if Helga, if you have anything new to add that hasn't been said yet.
Well, it's kind of similar to what the person before said. I would ask a question back, which would show that either I have understood what he said or haven't, and also shows that I'm interested in what he's saying and that I want more. So again, it's a question back with respect to what he was saying with the specifics in the question.
Yes, yes, I'm really liking this.
Mm-hmm. And I have one more to suggest, which is in a moment where you might reflect, you just ask him, are you trusting that I'm hearing you?
Ah, because I think he does, and I'm not convinced myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
Wonderful. So there is a menu, and what I would like to do is I would like you to now do what we just did, to do it in small groups, to review a few pat phrases we use a lot in NVC circles, whether people told you about them or not, and see it in a small group if you can come up with alternatives. Then when we come back, we will review some of those, and especially if you are not fully satisfied with the result. I personally find this a lot of fun, to kind of like really custom tailor our language to the circumstances, the needs, and the people. Let's get into groups of 3 or 4. And I would like, first of all, to see if there's anyone who is not clear on what I'm asking you to do in your small group.
Are you going to give us the phrases to work with?
No. Okay. My idea is that you all have your experience of working with NVC and that you will have some phrases in your group. Let's take 15 minutes for this. Thank you. So I would like to hear highlights and questions, because I am imagining that cross-pollination between the different groups might deepen the options that people find. So I would really love to hear what people came up with.
The situation that I brought up is an NVC thing that I don't enjoy at times when I'm the recipient of it. That is when someone has told me a story and then they want to know how I feel about it. And there are times when I don't feel anything and I don't know how to respond. I think they want more from me. I think they want me to have been moved. I had this woman a couple of days ago say to me, "This is a really vulnerable place when I'm sharing with you. And how do you feel about what I'm saying?" I didn't really feel anything.
I think that is highly impossible, to feel nothing.
That's what it felt like. I mean, I didn't have any, nothing came up.
Then maybe what is accurate to say is that you're feeling peaceful and relaxed.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
We can't not feel anything.
Right.
And still, there's something about the question itself that it sounds like you don't like. Or is that not true? It's just that you don't know how to answer.
I think it's that I don't know how to answer it, because I think to give them what I'm imagining they're wanting from me would be inauthentic.
So, first of all, there's something that you can do, that all of us can do, when we think that somebody wants a response from us. We can check with them if it's true. So you could say to this person, "Are you asking because you'd like to find out if I was moved by the story?"
Uh-huh.
And then you're connecting.
What if you weren't, Mickey?
No, but I don't have to be moved in order to connect with her. Because if she says, yes, I'd like to know if you were moved, you can say the truth of what is happening for you in that moment. I really, really want to give you what you want, and I wasn't moved. I'm feeling connected, I'm peaceful, I'm relaxed. I wasn't moved. Is that difficult for you?
No, I could do that.
No, you ask that person if it's difficult for them.
Is that difficult for you to hear?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
I was just wondering, would it be okay to say something like, what do you mean? Have them just say what they want.
I mean, okay is a word that I don't like to be the arbiter of what is or isn't okay. I mean, it has a flow to it, and if I am the person who feels vulnerable and I say to you, how do you feel hearing my story, and you say, what do you mean? Forget it. I will not know what to say to you.
No? Okay.
I mean, can you just imagine being very vulnerable, asking someone how they feel, and that person says, what do you mean?
Was that before the story?
Yeah. After the story.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
I thought it was after the story.
Oh, it was after. Okay. Gotcha.
So in general, saying, what do you mean, when there's any vulnerability, can trigger an experience of criticism or judgment or embarrassment or something. Can you see why?
Kind of. I'm just kind of saying, from hearing the description of what the previous, she was kind of flustered. I don't know. I'm not feeling anything about it.
Yeah, that's not a connecting response, though.
Okay.
Our goal is to connect.
Yeah.
So if my goal is to connect, anytime I ask a question without telling the other person the underlying need of the question, it can interfere with connection.
If I said something like, I'm confused about what you're asking, what do you mean?
That already takes the charge off.
Okay.
Do you feel the difference?
Yeah, you're right. It's feeling the needs and things before the request.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
Thank you. Are you complete?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I've experienced trying to get reflection of what my intended meaning was and having several times not getting my message clearly across, sort of being reflected back as in a way of, you're telling me I'm wrong and I'm bad. I'm like, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, blah, 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 blah. And several times, and by the third time around, it's like, will you stop asking me to repeat what you're saying? You're treating me like an idiot. I was wondering, maybe I should just, rather than like going over and over trying to get my message through, it might be just practical to say, well, maybe I'm maybe getting that you're not ready to hear this right now. If we come back to it later.
Not ready to hear this right now. First you told me that I was bad and wrong, and now you're telling me that I'm not ready, that there's something else wrong.
Right.
Let's slow it down. First of all, you say to somebody some version of asking for a reflection, and they tell you that whatever it is that they tell you, if there's any way that you can start the first words out of your mouth after they say it are, thank you, you're already ahead of the game. Now, why would you want to thank somebody for telling you something that you didn't say?
Because then you know that you haven't gotten your message through clearly.
That's the second reason. The first reason is that the person just did what you asked them to do.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I haven't been doing that. I was like, no.
Yeah. Then they get fried for doing what you asked them to do. They're genuinely trying to do what you asked them to do, and they get, you know, they get their head bitten off for that.
Mm.
So first thing is, thank you. I'm appreciating your willingness to do this awkward, stupid, stilted thing of reflecting back to me, which we don't usually do in conversation, and you just agreed to do it. Thank you. You know, I'm not saying say all these words, but just that's what happens in that moment. Second is, I'm appreciating realizing that how it came across is not how I intended it, and I have a dilemma. I'm really looking for a way to say what I want to say that's not going to sound to you like a criticism. Can you help me craft my message? That sense of collaboration in solving the problem. How does that sound?
Sounds a lot better than what I was doing. Yeah, that sounds pretty positive. Can you help me? Can you help me craft my message?
Yeah. Let's take an example so that we can work with it for a second. You have a concrete one.
Yes. I'm living in a foreign country, speaking a foreign language, eating foreign food, using foreign implements.
Are you the one saying this to this other person?
Yeah. I feel like I've willingly adapted myself to fit with what I feel is wanted from me. And I'm not saying that I'm dissatisfied with my life. I'm really happy with my life. I'm happy that I have my children. I'm happy I live here. I like living here. And the reason why I'm here is I've adapted myself to fit what I thought was wanted of me. What I'm responding to is being told, every time we have a disagreement, you always get your way. And I'm trying to get across that I kind of feel like I don't disagree very often when there are things that could be a conflict. But every now and then, I do actually have an opinion that I aren't just going to say, oh, we'll do it your way then. Ugh.
So, and you say this and the person says, you're telling me that I'm bad and wrong?
Yeah. You're telling me that you're miserable, you didn't want to have any children, you didn't want to live in San Francisco, and I've messed up your life. Really, I kind of want to say, you know, I'd like some recognition that I have adapted myself to kind of meet what your needs are, and I'd like you to recognize that I have some needs that I just don't want to have to give up.
Yeah, so there's complexity in this message that goes beyond the specifics that we're looking at right now. So let me just say that there's some way that in this message, it almost sounds like you're trying to justify getting your needs met because it's only fair, because you're adapting. And I would want you to work on uncoupling these two and to just speak for your needs, period. Okay.
Thanks.
I just want to acknowledge that I hear a very deep well of pain. I hope you get here and empathy somewhere. And let's see if there's any other phrase that came from any other group that you explored and found alternatives that were either satisfying or not satisfying. How many people have phrases or words or things that feel jargony that you don't have a satisfying alternative and would like to have one? So I would like to now check in with people and work with those examples.
In my group, one of the things that came up for me, and I've had some great opportunities this week in particular to learn it, is that when I'm in a situation and I'm feeling someone in their head, either someone in NVC who's in their head in NVC jargon and theory, and I want so badly to connect on a heart level or an NVC consciousness. One of the things that came up when I want to go deeper, and I have to be careful because I'm sensing that they're defended in some way and I can't go deeper. One of the things that came up in the group is how hard it is to stay present. What I'm sensing is some kind of a wall. And one of the phrases that came for me that worked recently was saying, I really want to understand your experience, what's going on for you right now based upon what I just said. Would you be willing to share that so I can understand the impact my words had?
Mm-hmm.
And that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm not always able to stay that present depending upon what I got back. One of the things I'm struggling with, being fairly new to NVC, is I love this naturalizing language for this reason, is that the NVC language itself very often sounds contrived, but when the person is saying it, for instance, one of the things that just came up in our breakout group was, I'm appreciating so much. If it said just a pat, I'm appreciating so much, then it bothers me. If it said with presence, then I get it.
Okay. Do you have a specific question that you'd like me to address, or do you want me to just say whatever comes to me to say in response to what you shared?
Say whatever comes, because I would like some substitutes for what I just said, and that would also work, and I'd also love to hear what comes to you.
Okay. The first thing is that I want you to take responsibility for the lack of presence, because the way that you're talking about it makes it sound like the other person is the cause of your lack of presence. And what I would say is that the cause of your lack of presence is your judgment of the other person as defended and having a wall. I get a sense that this is now percolating through you.
Absolutely. It was a perfect mirror.
Yeah. Then the other thing that you can do is tell the truth. I am struggling to connect with you. I want to. And I don't know how to reach you. I'd like to, and I don't know how. Can you help me?
And what happens if you aren't successful?
What does unsuccessful look like? So let's role play this. Be this other person and show me unsuccessful.
I just want you to be my friend.
Why is that unsuccessful? What's unsuccessful in that? I'm asking for real.
Well, it worked for me. When that was the response I received, that worked for me.
Okay, so give me a response that you would characterize as quote-unquote unsuccessful.
I can't think of a situation. I can't think of the phrase that...
Okay, so I want to say that the thing for you to focus on and for all of us is to really drill into us the realization that when we are not connected to another person, it's always us. It's never their problem. We may not be able to get them to speak in the way that we want. We may not be able to get them to listen to us in the way that we want. All that is immaterial. The capacity to connect with them resides in us, not in them. To kind of like push the point, imagine that what's in front of you is a very small child, an infant maybe, who is in distress and, you know, maybe is crying, maybe is not crying, not available for interaction for whatever reason, looking the other way. Would you have any difficulty connecting? Most likely not. Why? Because you have a different story about the infant than you have about an adult.
That's helpful. I'm still a little bit stuck when I get a response back is an intellectual thought without feeling.
That you interpret as an intellectual thought without a feeling. The feeling is always there. It may not be articulated in words in the way that you like. It's always there.
That's very helpful. And if this comes at you, if this pattern continues, would it be all right for me to guess the feeling?
Well, here's how I imagine that might happen. You can, first of all, you can try to ask the person to engage by saying, you know, so I get what you're saying, and I'd like to know what it feels like to have this idea. Is it a happy idea for you, a sad idea, a scary idea, an annoying idea? Give people a menu of four feelings they can always choose, and it's always the same four. Sad, glad, mad, scared. Second bit that I want to add, unrelated to this thing, is just something that I want to keep cycling back to. The more important piece is what the person wants, not what they feel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was very helpful.
I am glad. Let's hear what's the one that you have that you wish to have alternatives for.
It had to do with wanting empathy with people who don't have the skills.
I am so glad that you changed the word capacity to skill. I caught you before you did it. I heard the beginning of capacity emerge from your mouth and it turned into skill.
Yeah, the skill. To do it in a way that works for me. And so I'm recognizing that this is all about me and my own vulnerability and sensitivities, and definitely a strategy for me to have emotional safety and connection is to be received with a classical giraffe type of listening. I find that difficult to navigate in my world right now, is having a sense of connection, being received the way that I'm wanting to be received.
Okay. I want to say that I also have a lot of difficulty receiving empathy. It's not for me so much whether it's classical or not. I have my own sensitivities. And I have two directions that I've gone with it at different times. One is to really look for people whose empathy I find useful for me and stick with them. I don't have to receive empathy from everyone. The other, and some people are more successful at it than I am, is to train people on the fly by asking them questions that will give you the answer that you want. So, for example, you can say, I'm feeling vulnerable and sensitive and I want some support in a particular way. And if you're willing, I want to give you some guidance about how to support me. Let me know if you're willing. If not, I just won't try. So first of all, so far, is it something that you can imagine doing?
Yes, it is. And it is something that I do do.
Okay. And then what I would then do is I would say, okay, so I just told you blah, 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 blah. And what would help me is if you can try to imagine what it's like to be me having this experience and tell me what you come up with so that I have some other person's understanding. Would that work?
Yes, that's great. Great suggestion. Thank you.
Okay.
A lot of what you've just been talking about has helped in my questions. The one that came up with our group is I was mentioning how for my granddaughter, if I request connection, she's told me she doesn't want to hear the C word ever again. I don't see her very often. So we were trying to come up with phrases that would help her or another teenager to be comfortable with sharing, because what we're yearning for is not just to hear what's happening, but to have an idea of what matters to them, like what really excites them what matters to them.
And what's the question? I got lost.
What words could we use or phrases?
Instead of connection?
With teens, yeah, that would get to really something deeper than just, you know, what's happening in your life.
Let's open it up to see what other people have, if other people have ideas. If you have any idea about how you can engage meaningfully a teenager without using the C word.
What are you enjoying in your life?
What are you enjoying in your life?
Or what's fun?
What's fun? Uh-huh.
What's hard?
What's hard? Okay. Are any of these possibly helpful?
Yes. Something else, by the way, in our group that was really helpful was just that it might be more a matter of just going into the conversation with a consciousness that what we're going to tune into is what matters.
Uh-huh.
So no matter what they talk about, that we're consciously picking it up. But
okay, let's see, Cindy.
I like to know what's rocking your world.
What's rocking your world?
Yeah, what are you getting excited about?
Okay. And one more.
What if you just ask them, do you want to share? Do you want to share what's going on in your life right now?
I have a worry about the word share with a teenager. I think it's in the same family as connection. What do you think?
And that was my impression, too, for my granddaughter. Anyway, there may be others that could respond. But I do think, though, that what's rocking your world or something similar would get to what I'm really eager to hear.
Yeah, I want to say that I would experiment with the second part of what Nancy said. Forget about the word share. I really want to know what's really going on in your life. Can you tell me?
Right, what's really going on, not just what's happening.
Yeah. And there's one more hand.
I was thinking about situations where I'm trying to guess what's going on for somebody, And sort of the classic, are you feeling this, are you feeling that? A more useful and connective way to try to elicit, if they've proved unwilling to come out with it. I'm thinking in particular children, kids, teenagers, they're being very taciturn, and you're wanting to get information on what's going on for them, how to do that in a way that they will be willing to respond.
The only thing that I would say is, if they are not speaking to you, it's because they don't trust you. And so the question for me is, what do I need to do to gain their trust?
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So the last piece that I wanted to mention is about the importance of having fluidity, in particular with connection requests, because that, especially very, very tailored connection requests, and I sent you a bunch of examples along with the materials for this week. I have a sense that having a repertoire of many custom-tailored ones, as well as the capacity to generate them, can really provide kind of like the lubricant to a conversation flowing, because we can handle all the awkwardnesses, the silences, the oopses, the tensions, all of that by speaking about it and making kind of like micro connections in the moment. So for even the thing that Rebecca just said, you know, like you ask somebody, a teenager something, and they say just one word, you can immediately say, I see that I asked this in a way that doesn't create room for you to speak your mind, and I'd like to know if that's even true, what I just said. And continue in this, maybe that was not the greatest example because I'm kind of rushing. What I mean is, to really stay in the moment by moment of the connection by crafting requests that move the connection forward. Instead of thinking about the kind of like capital C connection, it is asking what is going to keep us moving towards togetherness. That's the piece that I wanted to bring in today. That was sort of there in the material that I sent out. I don't have a sense that I got to speak about it or we got to engage with it as much as I would hope. Maybe we could sneak it back in. Before we close, I'd like to hear from two or three people what something that today's session gave you that you're hoping will support you in the coming week and beyond. Stands out to you, what inspired you, moved you, nourished you?
I really appreciated you saying, if we're not feeling connected, that it's always us, not them, that the lack of connection resides within us. I appreciated also to let them know we're struggling and can they help us.
Thank you.
A really simple thing was where you might say to someone, I really don't feel moved, then to add that, you know, is that difficult for you to hear? Like just as a reminder that we could stay connected even as we're saying something that might be hard to hear, mm-hmm. by being with the person in the hard-to-hearness of it.
Thank you. Yes, we can't always stay in the zone that has no pain. That's not life. And you get the final word for today.
I would like to say how much I appreciated these words of yours around a collaborative effort to connect. That really resonates for me around like including the other person in trying to make it work for connection. That, you know, I want to hold responsibility because I'm wanting it, but I'm also wanting to include them and find a way to make it work. So that I really like the word collaborative efforts. Thank you. That was really meaningful for me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.